Let's pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Our scripture this morning is found in Luke, the 6th chapter, the 30th through the 36th verses. Some of you have read that this week, I think. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be the children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Well, today we're starting our series of sermons entitled On the Road in a Beautiful Neighborhood. Well, the beautiful neighborhood, it looks like two videos by Mr. Rogers, and that was the first. And then On the Road Again will be two videos by Steve Hartman. And that's the way we're going to do the next 4 weeks. Hopefully, what we will learn or maybe commit to is to maybe living a little differently than we have lived in the past. Now, I want to apologize for that video because it was a terrible video. Because I know what you really wanted to see. You wanted to see Mr. Rogers blast the guy. See, I know that because I did some research this week. I tried to find, I Googled and even went to YouTube, and I tried to search for adults being adults or something to the nature, when all else fails, they acted the way they were supposed to. Don't see any videos like that, but you mentioned the word Karen, and you can watch videos forever of some woman or some guy blowing up. It's unbelievable. This morning I looked at one just to be refreshed, you know, get really excited about today. And the first one that popped up had 1.8 million views. People like to see other people lose it. We do. So I want to apologize to you for letting you see Mr. Rogers not be losing it. You see, everybody likes to, and it's addicting watching those videos where some Karen or whatever they call it. What do they call a male Karen? Do y'all know? I thought I was the only one who was old. It could be David or Dennis. There's some other names, but those are the two I read. And so what do we do? Who are you when no one is watching? I just want to let you know, someone is always watching. Now, when I was a kid, growing up in small town USA, kind of like Mayberry, a little bigger than Mayberry, everybody was watching me. Because everybody my dad saw would say, especially if I went off with somebody, keep an eye on my boys. Keep an eye on my boys. And if it was danger involved, keep an eye on my boys, or keep an eye on my boys because I know they're going to get into something while they're gone with you. Keep an eye on my boys. Now today, everybody's got a phone, and you can take pictures, or you can take videos. I would like to see the hand of the one person here that does not have a phone. Okay, I see they're under 12, right? Anybody over 12 not have one? So if I do something really crazy today, y'all could have that on the internet before we did the benediction. Amen? All different angles, different lighting, you name it, it could be there. You can't get away with anything. Somebody is always watching you. Now, Mr. Rogers, The beauty of Mr. Rogers was he was Mr. Rogers. He wasn't somebody else. Or what we've been watching on TV for all those years was really the real Mr. Rogers. I started thinking about if I had been Mr. Rogers, knowing that more than likely, being that it was a convention type thing, you'd have made a reservation several months in advance where you would have a room, because they had a block of rooms where you get a better rate. And you check in and you make your way all the way up to your room. Now, I don't stay in, well, I have, but most of the places I stay, they don't have bellmen. You fend for yourself. But if I'd had a bellman and I got up there and they said, oh yeah, by the way, you don't have a TV, depending on what kind of day I had had to that point would be the way I would respond. Do I hear an amen? You see, because first thing that would have aggravated me was the fact that more than likely the person who checked me in knew that there was no TV in that room. And I went all the way up to that floor, waited on bunches of people to get in the elevator to go up there, and then I walk in the room, there's no TV. And I got to have a TV. I paid for a TV. Did you pay for a TV? Did you? Yeah, you paid for a TV. Do you want a TV in your room that you paid for? You bet you do. I know you. I've been with you somewhere. You want what you paid for. And so you would say, no, we're going back downstairs and we're going to get another room. I paid for a TV. And that guy should have told me before that. So you go back down. And depending on how long the line is till you get back to the front desk, your anger is mounting. My room didn't have a TV. I want a room with a TV. I'm sorry, sir, we're booked. Well, why didn't you tell me before I went upstairs? It only gets worse, doesn't it? About the time you get the third sentence out, somebody is breaking out a camera. That's what we do. I go into negotiation mode. Okay, I paid for a TV. Will you cut the rate on my room until you get me a TV? Will you give me a free meal? Will you give me late checkout? Will you do something for me since you didn't give me what I paid for? Because that's what we do. Now, the thing we don't do is stop for a moment and say, I could probably go one night without TV. I'm going to go out to eat dinner and I'm going to come back late. I'm not even going to need the TV today. Or might be on our way down, we might think about the person we're getting ready to attack, the young person who is doing what they were told. And they had no control over you not having a TV or not. They might have been told, don't say anything to anybody about not having a TV. So we don't think about what kind of day or whatever's going on in that poor person's life, do we? Because you know why? It's all about me. It's all about me, and it's not about anybody else. I want what I want when I want it. Have y'all ever been that way? Have you ever lived with somebody that way? Watch it, men. Watch it, women. That's what we deal with. But how should we do it? Now, I was going to change this story to say it was somebody I knew, but then I'd mess up the pronouns or whatever, and I'd mess it up. So I'm going to tell you, this story, I did it. I'm ashamed of it, but I did it. I was 16 years old, and I had a 1962 Rambler station wagon. Three gears on the column. One summer afternoon, I was riding around with a friend of mine, a girl who is now my old ex-boss's wife. But we were riding around, and we rode by a grocery store, one locally owned grocery store. And back in that day, they would get like one load of watermelons a week, and they would put as many watermelons inside the grocery store, and whatever they couldn't get in the grocery store, they would stack them up along the sidewalk right in front of the store, leaning up right up against the store. Has anybody ever seen one of those? Y'all, yeah, you got to be from the right part of the world to see that. And so that's what we saw. The place was closed, and I had this, I don't know, I got this idea. I think I want a watermelon. So I pulled in there real quick, jumped out, stole a watermelon, threw it in the back floorboard, jumped in the car, drove off, and we went back to her house, and we had watermelon. The next afternoon, about 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, the phone rings at my house, and I don't know if I answered the phone or somebody else answered the phone, but I got the phone. And the man said, and I knew him, I knew the guy who owned it, my family knew the man who owned the store, and he said, I understand you stole a watermelon from me. Me thinking on my feet, I said, oh gosh, I forgot. I was going to come down there this morning and pay you for the watermelon, but I forgot. Can I come down and pay you for it now? And he said, you need to come in a hurry. So I did. I rushed over there. I paid the man the dollar or a dollar and a half of the watermelon. He said, thank you. I said, you know, that watermelon was so good. Can I buy another one? And he sold me another watermelon. He said, well, I appreciate that. He said, but next time I'd really like you to pay for it before you take it. Okay. Thank you. Now, he was unbelievably gracious, wasn't he? He could have been so much different. He could have called my parents. He could have told my parents, but he didn't. But every time I saw him, I have seen him, I think he's dead now, for 35 years, when he would see me, he would say, you remember when you stole that watermelon? That's a whole lot different response to making a mistake or doing something stupid than being real brutally honest or being vindictive or angry, because his grace changed who I am. I've never stolen a watermelon again. I don't even eat watermelon. I'm joking. I do eat watermelon. But that's how we do things, isn't it? We want to be treated differently. You see, because in everything we do, and I've learned this in Atlanta, I can justify everything I do. Can you? If it's good or bad. If I'm riding down the road and I do something silly, and you can do a lot of silly things on 285. You, even as hard as you try, with cameras and every which way you look, you can still do something you should not do as much as you try. You're going to cut somebody off, can't you? You do all kinds of things. I can justify everything I do when I drive. But do not do that to me, because you don't get to justify anything when you're doing it to me. Right? Wouldn't you love to be able for the person you cut off to hear, or the person that cut you off, to hear what you just said about them? If all of a sudden you spoke it or yelled it and they heard what you said in that car. Wow. What if you heard everybody else who said something bad about you in your car? I would quit driving. Sometimes we think our sins and our problems are nowhere close as bad as to the other person. We really don't. We really don't. And it gets, how do we be the people we're supposed to be? As a 15-year-old kid, I had the great job of driving my dad back and forth to Augusta, 30 miles over, 30 miles back, a little riding around in the city of Augusta, driving back. My dad lived by this motto, don't stand when you can sit. Do not sit when you can lay down. Do not lay down when you can go to sleep. If he sat down for any period of time, he was going to sleep. So I'd drive him to Augusta and back. One day I was riding and a strange thing happened. A car passed me. And he was flying. And I said to my dad, look at that idiot driving down the road. Excuse me, parents. And then my dad asked me, why are the people who drive faster than you idiots and the people who drive slower than you stupid? Which are you? Right? You got to be somewhere in between. Somebody's looking all the time. Someone is looking all the time. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. You see, the thing I know about us as Christians and most of us who've accepted Christ and have made a profession of our faith, we've come to a chancel rail, we've been baptized, we've answered questions, and we said, yes. Will you? Yes. Will you? Yes. Will you? Yes. And we lied. Because our yes isn't yes. Sometimes our yes is sometimes. Sometimes our yes becomes a no. And then we say no to some things. No, we won't. No, we won't do that. No, we will not do that. No, we won't do that. And then over a period of time, we have to change no to say, sometimes. And sometimes our no's go from no's to sometimes to yes. Who are we when nobody's looking? I have come to the to understand that one of the greatest problems is pride. Pride is a hard word, isn't it? I was told all my life, you need to take pride in your work. So a good dose of pride is okay. Too much pride is bad, right? You want to care enough to try, to excel, to do the best you very can. And then pride can get in your way and you can say, I'm smarter than any person in this room. Those people over there in that corner who will never shut up, they don't know anything. I'm smarter than them. They didn't go to the school where I went, and I'm smarter. Anybody who has a degree in a summa cum laude from this institution is so much smarter than that person who went to that institution. I'm smarter. I'm more intelligent. I wasn't raised in that town. I can do it all. I'm invincible. I have the intelligence. I have the aptitude. I have the perseverance. I am invincible. And then they say, Jesus, I don't need you today. Go stand in the corner. I got today. And they might have today. And they go and they do what they do in the way they do it because they're them. And the next day they get up and they look at Jesus and they think, I got today, don't worry about today. And they do that day after day after day, and one day they look over there in the corner and Jesus has dust on him. And they think they're just as invincible as they used to be, but what they come to find out is they might have lost a step or two. Whatever they were doing in their relationship with the Lord, it is not that anymore. And then all of a sudden they might look over there in the corner for Jesus and Jesus is not there. The one that Jesus left is just that we left Jesus. And when Jesus becomes something other than important to us, then we have trouble. You see, in a world where Jesus is asking us to do things that are unbelievably hard or things that are hard to understand, you better be in relationship with Jesus so that you can know. When you get in that place where you think nobody's watching and you're tempted, what are you going to do? Who you are going to rely on? You're going to rely on yourself? Don't rely on yourself. Because all of us have gone astray. Not just normal people like me. Not just smart people like you. All of us have gone astray. And so that's what we need to worry about. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. And if we do, maybe you won't hear somebody call you up one day and say, "Did you steal a watermelon from me?" We might not steal watermelons, but we'll steal something else. You see, Mr. Rogers is Mr. Rogers. And I want you to be a Mr. Rogers. I want you to want me to be Mr. Rogers. Be who we say we're going to be. And in doing that, more and more people will see Christ in us. And they won't see Karen yelling at somebody. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your love for us, even when we are unlovable. Help us to know to the core of our being that you are always with us. Help us to know that with you and the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do all things. Help us to strive with each other to be the church. Lord, we ask this in your Son's holy name. Amen.